All right. So we are going to speak about today, God willing, we're going to delve into embracing harmony, Aaron the high priest, and the month of Av. So we're currently in a new month. We're talking about the summertime. And there's the summertime ups and the summertime blues. And the energy of the summer is not always predictable. You know, we were sharing about some of the sentiments, you know, just when you were 15 and going out to camp in the summer and in the cat, you know, there was a certain perception of what summer is going to be like. And it, as we mature, as we grow up, it's not always like that, just because, you know, in the seasons, the external seasons of our life, they're very much mirroring our internal seasons. So meaning that the notion of summer is already reaping something that has been worked on during the winter. And basically what has been in dormant for so many months sprouts out either in the spring or later on at the beginning of the summer, or on a experiential level, it sprouts out. And today, God willing, we're gonna delve into the particular month that we're in, which is the month of Av, whose sign, the sign of the month of Av, the astrological sign is Leo. Arya is a lion. And it is traditionally known as a very intense month, actually. Although you know, we speak about summer and like, wow, it's gonna be amazing, but like the month of Av is an intense time spiritually, where in Jewish history, all types of calamities happened, starting with the first temple, the second temple, Beitar, the fall of Beitar. They say that the Inquisition, you know, when it actually, you know, the marching orders were given, was on the day of Tisha B'Av, on the day of the ninth of Av. So the month of Av is known as a very intense month. Yet the month of Av is called Father. Av means father, meaning that within all of that intensity, there's something which is much deeper. And to just expand upon this, to understand this, for us to delve into this concept a little bit deeper. You know, when we talk about the temple, we're not just talking about the physical temple, the material temple that was there in Jerusalem, and it was destroyed, right, in twice. But as the Torah says, you should make for me a temple, and I will dwell within them. I will dwell within the hearts, within us. We essentially have a temple. And when we talk about the building of the temple, and this idea of the destruction, the whole thing, it doesn't just mean on a physical level, but it means that there is a spiritual work that we're doing as a collective, as a humanity, and as individuals that are all coming together towards that common cause. And when we want to think about this in a deeper way, we could understand it in terms of parenting, because we are essentially, we're the results of our parents and grandparents and great grandparents. And on a on an emotional level, on a very biological level, right? Epigenetics, you know, we're basically the result of that and of them. And so the whole idea of really the transformation and the building really comes from the father level, from the parent level, from the right, the inceptional parent, you know, concept, which is birthing the new consciousness and the new idea into the next generation. And so in terms of understanding the contradictions of this month, on a very, we could say, basic level, almost halachic level, Jewish law level, there's the idea of the first half of the month, or sorry, 9 days of the month. You know, we're not supposed to partake in major life events. You know, if you're gonna move to a new location or get married or even things as eating meat or hearing live music, etc., because it's a time of contemplation. It's a time of really commemorating the destruction of what was, not for the sake of being in a state of depression, right? Of sadness, because that's really never supposed to be a part of the service, the act of service of Hashem, which is all supposed to be in a manner of joy, of simcha, right? But it's supposed to, on a halachic level, just give us a certain perspective, a deeper perspective, a, you know, something which is, in a way, is going to awaken us. So we've got that for the first half of the month, but then we go to the second half of the month, which is on the 15th of the month of Av. Shalom Aleichem, young man. Good to see you. So the second half of the month, we've got the greatest celebration, basically, on the Jewish calendar, one of the greatest celebrations, which is, it's called Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, where there's a full moon. And this full moon of the month of Av is the greatest full moon of the entire year. So those of you that understand what a full moon is, right, recognize, you know, basically, I think they say that in maternity wards, there are the most amount of births that happen on a full moon. Babies obviously feel it in their fetuses. You know, they're like, you know, we want to come out. There's something there, like, you know, the moon is saying, like, I'm full of expression, of energy, of emotion, like let's go, yalla, you know, like they say in Hebrew, vamos. And on the 15th of the month of Av, we say yalla to all of the negativity, that it becomes transformed, that it becomes actually the greatest day, one of the greatest days, that in Yom Kippur on the entire calendar that we have. Yom Kippur and the 15th day of Av are the greatest. And you could ask a question, one second. It's during the month of Av, which is such a negative month, right? We don't speak that way, but like if we just talking about it externally, it's seemingly supposed to be like bad, right? We term things very basic, like supposed to be bad. So how could it be then good? And here comes the depth of understanding what bad is and what good is. It's not as simple and, you know, superficial that as meets the eye. And here we have this month, the month of Av, which is the month of fire. It's a month of fire, could be destructive, or it could be the most constructive element. We as a humanity would not be here without fire, right? That, you know, the sparking of the two rocks coming together, and then you're able to cook. Well, gee whiz, like you actually have your cell phones and everything. Yeah, it all goes back to that original invention. Pretty good, old guys, you know, and they got it right. That spark of fire, you know, fire could destroy or fire could create. And parents, or we as individuals, could either destroy with our fire, or we could create. The month of Av means a father. And in terms of the creation process of Adam and all of humanity came from that inceptional source, which just made everything, right? That's the spark. That's the big bang. That's the whole, got it all, the movement going. And that process, that cycle is a cycle that eventually brought to a standstill between the potential of man and what God wants to give man. So the potential of man and what God wants to give man, right? Welcome. So we all have potential. And that potential, we don't know that potential, the amount of, you know, the extent of that potential. You know, you get a Mozart in front of the piano, and all of a sudden, you know, he creates this incredible, you know, you get Picasso just going at it. Like, we don't understand our potential. And at the same time, we are limited by our own capping of our own potential, of what we believe is possible for us. And according to Kabbalah, the greatest good that the Creator wants to give us is limitless. And the only thing that stops it is ourselves. And that's why we go through challenges. And that's why we are obstructed by things outside of us that are coming in our frequency, in our way. It's really our own radars that are just stopping ourselves. And those obstructions are what we call the challenge and the bad, right? The negative. But let's say the father, for argument's sake, of Mozart didn't push his son to get at it, you know, and to start practicing, right? Or what's his name? Phelps, you know, the swimmer. So Michael, like, nobody told him, you know, you have to get into the water like 7 days a week for who knows how many hours. So he had potential, but he never would have done it. So while he's going through it, what's it feeling like for him? Is it feeling like a reward, or is it feeling like a pain and almost torturous? It's feeling torturous. Like, I could imagine, like, taking a kid, putting him in front of a computer or in the pool for a prolonged amount of time. You know, the kid is going to be like, what am I doing? I remember we had a retreat a couple of months ago. We had an Olympic, gymnast. And she was a child, like, she was like in Beijing, like in the Olympics. And she said, like, I remember, like, I was like trained like almost like a slave. No, she wasn't Chinese. She was, but she had to compete in such intensity that for her psychologically, it was actually too much. And she was unable to contain it. And so that notion of pain which is basically the limitation and the balance between that and potentiality, is this merging of God, of Hashem, and us as individuals and as a humanity. And in this merging of the two, and almost the collision of these two worlds, we associate what we associate in our limited potential, from our limited perception. This month of Av, right, we're talking about the new month of Leo, of the day of, you know, this month has so much destruction in it and so much pain, etc., throughout history. Yet this month is also called the month of Father, which is the month of potentiality, which is the month of love. And within the same month, we have intensity and we have love. And the most intense level of love, because it was actually the Yortzeit, it's the day of the passing of Aaron the high priest yesterday. So Aaron the high priest is the whole idea of the Kohanim, of the Kohen clan, is the idea of blessing and blessing with love. It said about Aaron that he loved his fellow human and he brought peace within everyone. So there was that level of peace towards the other that Aaron brought, and a level of love that was just unparalleled. And the only other person that we could compare Aaron to is actually Abraham, right? The first Jew, who Abraham invited everyone into his house, into their house with Sarah, and was a complete just personification of loving kindness. So it says Aaron was the same level of loving kindness, but even more. And on a Kabbalistic level, actually it says that Abraham was called Chesed, which means kindness, but Aaron is called Rav Chesed, immense kindness. And there's two levels of kindness, right? Let's say, you know, it's a good idea to go and to volunteer in the hospital. It's a beautiful idea, right? I did it, and it was formative. It was transformative for me as a teenager. My mother's a nurse, so she's like, "You're volunteering," so I had no choice. But you know, you're basically visiting and you're doing kindness. But at the end of the day, you're clocking yourself. You're basically, all right, I'm here for how many hours today, and you're going home. Zeu, right? That's Chesed. But then you have a level of Rav Chesed. Rav Chesed is immense kindness. Immense kindness means I am absolutely committed and feeling and giving, not because I'm drained or I need to be drained from any of the giving, but just because I'm absolutely almost channeling, you could say, a level of kindness,
yes,
into the world. And that's what happens to like people who are sometimes just like volunteering in hospitals, and you just see them and they're absolutely giving life to people by their smile or by the hat or by what they're doing. And call it yeah, for sure. Right?
Nice to the nurses also.
And they're nice to the nurses, and 100%. And you know, it's amazing. It's tremendous. And it's not like they have to be there because they need this many hours, but because they're called from a deep place of giving, of altruistic giving, not for the sake of getting anything in return. Because even when you have chesed and you have kindness, I'm doing something, but maybe you'll do something kind to me also.
Condition.
You know, yeah. It's fair. You know, one hand shakes the other, and like there's kindness, and yeah. and it's better than not, right? So, but that's, and it's still holy and good, right? If right, and that's a whole discussion in of itself. How much is it really for the sake of my giving versus the sake of really giving for the sake of giving, which is more godlike. But the case of Aaron the high priest, that channel of Rav Chesed is able to just absolutely just draw down unequivocal love, not for the sake of anything in return. It's godly love, essentially.
Why doesn't Abraham have to say Rav?
So nothing wrong with Abraham.
Yeah.
But Avram is called chesed. Yes. He's called kindness. But that kindness is still limited in comparison to Aaron. Right. So now, what is this letters of Aaron? So there's a beautiful teaching, you know, in the Hebrew language, when we try to analyze words in Hebrew, it's staggering. It's amazing when we have a deeper understanding of what, you know, words actually mean. So the letters of Aharon, Aaron, has within them the letters Har or Har, which means a mountain in Hebrew. So Aharon means a mountain, okay? Or has the root of his name is a mountain, okay? What does mountain signify? What do mountains signify to you?
They're majestic. They're very strong. They're prominent. They're closer to heaven.
What do you guys say? What's that? Fortitude.
They reach high.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the Himalayas. Peaks are just, they're not messing around.
There's a kind of pride in.
Yeah. So actually, that's a great way to put it. Mountains have potentially pride. Mountains have pride, which pride could be like showing off. Basically, hey, look at me, like I'm flexing my big mountain muscles. You know, like Har. Har is like this. Almost like showy, you know, prominent type of a fixture, right? But then mountains could be, like you were mentioning, they are expressing a very important virtue, which is the virtue of fortitude, of virtue of strength.
Stability,
you were saying majestic, right?
Majestic.
They're beautiful. I mean, you look at like some of the mountains, like the eight times strong. Fearsome. Yes. Yeah. Right?
Because I grew up in the desert. I saw the first time mountain when I woke up in the middle of the night. What's that?
And now you come to Tzfat all the time. You're like, yes. Mountains everywhere. Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. Mountains are exactly that. They're contradictions. They're either very showy or they're very magnificent. And the mountain, which is Aharon, Har means a mountain, is this magnificent strength to be able to draw from somewhere. But within the name Aharon, there's a letter Aleph, which is preceding the Har. And the letter Aleph is the letter of consciousness. The letter Aleph means Alpha, right? And all, right? The idea of Alpha is to teach, is to learn. Aleph in Aramaic means teach me. It has the letter Yud on top, which is reaching up to the highest heavens. It's got the Yud below, which is reaching down into our consciousness. And the letter Vav, which is drawing these two seeming opposites within us. And it's drawing from a higher space, a higher source. That's what the letter Aleph before, Aharon, Ahar. And then the letter Nun, the final letter Nun, draws down this energy into this world. So within the very letters of Aharon, we've got this manifestation of chesed, of kindness, which is coming from a source, from a very, very virtuous source, from right, which they're drawing from. And so that energy is called an energy of water, an energy of chesed. But it's not just water, it's beyond that. It's Rav Chesed, it's extensive chesed, which is coming down to the world. So within the same month, we've got such fire, but we've got such water at the same time. And they're very contradictory. The primary energy of Av, of Leo people, is a fire kind of a sign. We've got a number of birthdays during this month, and we know when those girls get into like a certain scuffle, it's like they're two lions going at it, and they're like, and they're not giving up. And there's like a very powerful energy and very, very fiery energy about Leos and the month of Av. Yet there's such a powerful sense of chesed, of kindness. And going back to the very word of Av means father. And Aaron, whose Yurtzeit, whose day of passing is on the first day of Av, is the one that's almost like heralding the coming of this, you know, month with this presence of loving kindness in the most immense way. So how do these contradictions really coincide? So these contradictions are exactly what we were talking about before, about this collision between man and God, the potential and what we're able to receive. Because we don't think that fire and water are able to mix together, right? Do we? Like, they don't really normally mix. Yet, in this situation and in life, they actually are meant to mix. And we are meant to, because within our very, like, biology, you know, the neurons which are firing in our brains are very fiery, but yet they're absorbing wisdom, which has, it's called water, you know, according to Kabbalah, to be contained and to be able to try to understand a concept, one has to be more focused and present and have the energy of water. But yet to understand what is being presented, one has to have fire. And that's called Chochma and Bina in Kabbalistic terms. Chochma is the energy of water. Bina is understanding, which is fire. So now you're taking the concept and placing them into files, which are these, you know, energetic, they're fiery files, which are in our, you know, neurons, which are there in the very gray matter of our brains, stored in short term and long term memory, right? We could retrieve them when we wish, and it's an amazing machine that God has created, right? So, but they're very contradictory, you know. They are contradictory, and as much as, you know, we think that AI is like, that's going to be the next thing. It's like, no, if it's not within a human and it's not firing and wiring and you have that yes, human could place the algorithms, but to understand means to take these two opposites and make something out of it. And that's essentially called da'at, which is wisdom. You can have all the information, but without the understanding and the information merging, then you don't have wisdom. So the AI bot is not wise. There's a lot of information, and it can even write about wisdom, but it doesn't mean that it understands the wisdom, because the wisdom is the ascertainment. It's the merging of these two opposites, which are going on simultaneously in our very brains, in our minds, which is the potentiality of expansion, of knowledge, of infinite goodness, which is called Shefa. And that could be divided into abundance on the material level, on the emotional level, on the intellectual level, on the spiritual level, which God is basically more than willing to give to us, versus what are we able to receive. And what we're able to receive is very small in comparison to what is being handed. So where does destruction happen? It happens from the collision of these two opposites. And the month, not going into the historical aspect of what happened in the temple, and that's, but on a spiritual aspect, what is happening? Michal, you're asking what element is Das? So Dat is really not an element. It's really beyond an element, because it's what is our souls. Dat is like the spiritual. Mm. It's like it's the merging of the two. It's not just the information or the understanding. It's both of them merging as one. That is Dat. It's a unification of these two aspects, which is essentially why we came down into this world. We came down into this world to know God and to know ourselves. When we know God, not external to us, we know ourselves. When we know ourselves, then we know God, because who we are inside, we are God. We're a portion of Hashem. Mm-hmm. We're unified with Hashem's absolute infinity. The division, the external, me being outside of unity, of oneness, is basically exile. And in the idea of the temple, right, the construction of the first and second temples were about the finite merging with the infinite. That's basically what the temple in Jerusalem and in the Mishkan was all about. It's like King Solomon says, you're infinite. What do you need any space? Hagama makomaze, you also need this place. It's like a question, like, and that's the whole intention of the creation is that Hashem wants to be known within this finite reality, within our finite reality, our space.
That's a really stupid question.
There's no stupid questions.
Okay, wait. You say that, but then I'm going to ask this, and you'll be like, oh, okay, we've experienced our first stupid question.
No.
Okay, so we're all made with Tzelem Elokim.
Yeah.
But God is indivisible. So how are we all a little piece of Hashem when you consider that indivisible aspect of Hashem? How do you...
Right. So great question. Those two things. That's a great question. So the question is actually asked by the Ramban, Rabbi Moshe Ben Nachman of Barcelona, Spain, right? Basically, so you have, why does the Torah begin with Bereshit, within the beginning, when there's creation? And creation seems like separation, right? So the whole idea of the seeming separation is because it seems like it's separation, but when we are able to look beyond that notion of separation and bring back that feeling and understanding of unity, then we have also earned our personal identities, which are not separate from the source, yet by giving us the ability, I know, one second, giving us the ability to choose by the virtue of choice, then we're able to actually actually be in the state of the highest level of fulfillment and satisfaction because of the choice, which again seems inconsequential. Like, why even create or download within program, within man, the whole idea of choice? Just give it, like, there's just in infinity, there's just God. So what's the whole idea over there? The whole idea of man is the idea of free choice, the idea of seeming separation. But the seeming of the separation, seeming separation, is for the choice of of rising beyond the separation consciousness. It's a big concept. Like, you look confused. I'm confused. I'm confused. Why, God, did you do this? I don't know. But I'm like, okay, this is what it says in the spot. This is what's going on. But at the same time, within the confusion, okay.
Oh, I understand everything that you're saying, but then relating it to her question, I don't feel like it was answered.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
like, your explanation makes sense. But
okay. So again, the nuance of that. Again, can you maybe just repeat that?
Okay, so if we're all, essentially, if there is Hashem within all of us,
mm-hmm.
how do we reconcile that with Hashem being indivisible?
Okay.
That's.
Okay.
We've got the Shema, Hashem is one.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So, the Shema, when we say Echad, one, Echad means, why don't we say Yachid, which means singular? Okay, why don't we say Hashem, God, is singular? Singular means indivisible, because there's just singularity, right? Right? But we say Hashem Echad, we say God is one. When we say God is one, we're implying that there's two. Because if there's one, there's two, and there's three, and there's four, and there's five. The whole notion of the plural, right, of multiplicity, is exactly what we're saying in the Shema, in the oneness, that within the multiplicity, that seems multiplicity to us, regardless, there's a unity, there's a oneness, it's Hashem Echad, there's one. Can we understand that? I can't understand. I can't fathom that per se, right? I mean, there's a lot of analogies and et cetera, but that is the notion. That is this belief that the multiplicity does not negate the oneness.
So something that I just made sense in my brain and like kind of tied into that was, you have the choice to work hard and, you know, to be closer to God. And then maybe, like, all the choices that you make and all of everything that brings you closer, all of those people together become a community. And then maybe that's the oneness that kind of makes sense to me, you know, and, like, that's the one Hashem, like, the one community. Everything is able to be understood amongst each other. Everyone shares the same love, the same kindness, the same, because they worked for it, because they have the choice to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what just made sense in my brain to answer that question.
Right. And that's a great way to put it, because we could only fathom basically what's close to our vicinity. It's almost like taking a huge tapestry, and like when a piece bends, it's like the area next to it, it like feels it, but it still makes a shift everywhere else. But for us to sense it, we sense it in what is closest to us. So yeah, right? So that's a great way to put it. So I think like oneness, you know, when we look out into nature, do we understand how nature is all like just interwoven with each other? Do we know that underneath, you know, the earth, the amount of like the connections that are going on, right, between the roots and you know, the fungi and the mycelium, right, which is connect, like, have you seen that? No. Does it make sense? No. Okay, because you're human, because you're limited in what you could understand. Great. But that doesn't take away from that truth. Yes.
That any conception of God isn't like physical. So when we think of God existing in the world, it's in like a spiritual realm. And physically, maybe we're individuals in like a strictly physical sense, but that's not the realm that God really exists in.
Exactly.
So that's how I would explain
it. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's, again, in nature, we get examples of that on a very physical level,
right?
Again, like things that are interconnected and, you know, even in physics,
yeah,
and metaphysics.
We live in a four-dimensional world, but there's more dimensions.
Absolutely.
Can we contemplate a five-dimensional world? Can we contemplate a six,
yeah,
seven, or eight?
Right.
Or in modern...
There's 11.
Theory, 11.
Yeah.
11 dimensions. I can't even come. Two dimensions is enough.
Right. But that's because you're a male. Right. Women are like in five dimensions. I gotta call this person. I gotta do that. I gotta cook that. This is happening.
I can't.
Males are like, I'm in like one dimension. What do we gotta do? Good.
That's basic.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, go back to the store. So going back to the month, right, the specific energy of this month is very contradictory. Again, it's a month of destruction, that it's, you know, we commemorate these negative events, yet it's a month that the greatest holiday, 15th of the month of Av, where there's a new moon and there's a new beginning, there's new life, there's new opportunities. And according to the Arizal, it's the greatest new moon of the entire year. Why? Because there's been such a down. And when there's such a down, means that there's such an up that comes afterwards. And that's a very big rule for life, that when things seem like we're on a low, so we should just know it's just getting us ready to go back on a greater high, right? Of rising back up. And the actual energy is of the lion, which is Aryeh. Aryeh is the lion, right? And the lion energy is very, very fiery. And the temple is actually compared to the lion. It's actually crouching. So it says that, why is the temple compared to the temple? Why is the lion compared to the temple? Or the, you know, it's called the lion. Sorry, the temple is called Ariel, which is the temple. And the Jewish people are actually called the lion. God is called the lion, because the idea of a lion, that even when the lion is crouching and seems like he's down and out, he's just preparing for a greater sprint to go forward. The lion is crouching, like, beware, because he's going to be going at something, like, pretty soon. And it's not just like he's chilling out. Yes, he does. But the whole idea of the resting is to rise up to something which is much greater. So the analogy of the destruction, of the down, of the darkness, is there to bring us to a greater high, right? The fire and the water coming together, and the obstacle, the challenge, the destruction is there to expand our vessels, expand our potential, not to get us down, but to start something new, right? To bring something else on the horizon. So these two aspects, the aspects of water and fire, which are the opposites, are essentially what the temple is all about, but we have not yet seen that. Because in the first temple was built by divinely inspired vision of King Solomon. And that's considered something which is very spiritual, very lofty, very godly. That's nice. The second temple, though, was built by Ezra and Nehemiah when they came back from Babylon. And they built it in the same image as it's a combination of the first temple and the third temple, which is spoken about in the book of Ezekiel. And so both these temples were destroyed. Both of these aspects of being either or, of being divinely inspired or coming from our own inspiration, our own selves. Because the truth is that the merging of these two is the ultimate. The merging of the two are represented or is represented by the third temple. The third temple is the representation that on the one hand, it's divinely inspired, but then on the other hand, it's still us that are doing the aspect. We're yearning, we're building. These two aspects are contradictions. So the building of the third temple and the revelation of the third temple within us, which means it's something which is expansion of potentiality, that God wants to give to us in such an immense way, if we're able to hold it and be able to contain that amazing love from our discipline that is able to then be the vessel to contain that infinite Shefa, right? So our fire is basically building this vessel in order to receive this incredible measure of love. Again, it's contradiction, but in terms of what we're supposed to be accomplishing and what the purpose of creation is contradictory. It's a contradiction that there is separation, that there is the creation, and yet there's Hashem, there's the infinite level of Hashem. So why am I even here? Why are we even here? What are we even doing here? In this, like, what are we even adding to the whole world, right? Created a world, like, what do you need me to do over here? So the idea is, Hashem is like, well, I need you to do a lot. I need you to actually be you. But to be you means to be the real you. And to be the real you, you don't even know who the real you is. None of us know who the real you is, right? And Hashem is like, I'm going to push you to find out the real you. And that is the story of the ninth of Av, right? The destruction of both temples, right? What seems to be negativity, what seems to be obstruction, not for the sake of obstruction of negativity, but for the sake of revelation, for the sake of the greatest good, of revealing our potentiality, our infinite potential, combination of opposites, of merging of contradictions, the dualities coming together, there's a one and then the two and then the three, but within that, it's actually one. How does that work? I don't know. But it just does.
Strange, huh? He takes us from the highest potential, put us down in the lowest potential, to reveal our highest potential here.
Yeah. Right here, in this world.
Nice game.
Yeah.
And all the work is on us.
That's it. Well, because all of the pleasure and all of the ultimate purpose, like God created the world because he wanted to give us the greatest good. And the greatest good is only if we're actually going to work for it and embrace it. Because if it's going to be granted to us, then we're not going to appreciate it and it's not really going to be good. So the struggle is actually the reward, like not when we're in it, but it's for the ultimate greatest purpose. And that's why this month of Av has within it these contradictory aspects, the ninth of Av, and then it leads to the 15th, two opposites, which are just all one. So fire purifies and water purifies, like the mikvah, exactly. I like that. Das is maybe the vapor, right? The mixture of water and fire. That's good.
We just need to be the pot.
We need to be that container. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Fire, that container. Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to pause here for today. God willing, next week, if we're not in Jerusalem, after the ninth of Av becomes the greatest celebration. So I'd like to speak about, first of all, it's the Arizal's Yahrzeit, this Shabbat. And the Arizal speaks about the power of being present with our actions and being more present to our actions and being more mindful of what it is that we are actually doing. And in terms of understanding our mitzvah and whatever it is that we do, how we're able to do that. So we're going to delve into that concept, which seems like a simple concept, but it's really not. Because we just want to get on with things very quickly. And, the clock is ticking, so going on. But doesn't, right? Hashem is called the present, Yudke Vavke. So that's all, folks, for today. Baruch Hashem. Thank you, Sally, for your appreciation. And I just want to leave everyone with one last concept, perhaps. Maybe not all yet. But the way to really appreciate and to get into the energy of this month is through appreciation, through gratitude, because it's called the fifth month. And the fifth month is associated with Hod, which means humility, which means gratitude. So when we have that fiery energy, we're like, I gotta do this, I gotta just pause for a second and be like, thank you. Thank you for this second. Thank you for this. It doesn't have to get that complicated, right? We don't have to be too ahead of ourselves, too advanced. You right? It's okay. We could, pause and be present. And by doing that, right, we bring in that water, right? That level of kindness, of chesed, and basically appreciation and love of where we're at right now, because we're supposed to really love and embrace where we are right now, not hate where we're at right now, right? And bringing that water, that calming water. So Avigal, you may not be in the beach yet but basically we could bring the water to us. We could bring the beach to our house, right? Or to our mind. not to our house. No way.
God willing, I'm going to go swimming on Sunday.
Sounds great. Okay. Enjoy. All right, my friends. So wishing you a beautiful Shabbat. Maybe a celebration this Tisha B'Av.